If you think about Wednesday, as you're watching this, Wednesday has been a chaotic day for South Australia. But we're bringing this in faith in our Lord, that he is with us every step of the journey. Psalm 42, which we're going to do a reflective reading on in a little while, says in part, "Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God." Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God. I hope you can hold on to that verse over the next little while, regardless of what happens, though the wheels might fall off, though we might have challenging times. Our hope is in God, always. Wherever you're watching this from, probably at home, it certainly won't be the local cafe, we really trust that you'll be able to enter into what we are doing as part of this short service, that you will be able to sing, the words will be on the screen if you care to join in, and that you can participate fully in what we do, as much as you would participate fully if you were actually in the building with us on Sunday morning. So God bless you, and let's sing together.
Righteousness revealed. The Son of Man, the Son of God, his kingdom comes. Jesus, redemption sacrifice. Expression of God's love, the grace of God, the word of God revealed to us. Jesus, God's holiness displayed, now glorified, justify his kingdom comes, and this kingdom will know no end, and its glory shall know no bounds, for the majesty and power of this kingdom's king has come. Kingdom's rule and this kingdom's power and authority. your kingdom will know no end, and your glory shall know no bounds. For the majesty and power of your kingdom, Lord, has come, and your kingdom's reign, and your kingdom's rule, and your kingdom's power and authority. Jesus, your God's righteousness revealed. Jesus, your God's righteousness revealed.
Amen. It's an incredible thing to know that the righteousness of Jesus, the righteousness of God, has been revealed to us. And a very reassuring thing. And when God looks at us, he sees his children and he sees the righteousness of Jesus present to us. Because in reality, we don't have any righteousness of our own. You might find that a bit hard to admit at times, but it is true. Just very quickly, because things are changing so much at the moment, we're not sure what's going to happen for next week. So as much as we can, we'll be trying to put information about what's happening at the Vines, what's happening with services and online services on the website. So hopefully you'll find as much information as we can put there. So keep an eye on the website. And for those who are members of the congregation, keep an eye on your emails as well. We're going to share Psalm 42 with you as a reflective reading, but also as a response. And there is the response is the one I read at the beginning of the service. Hope in God, for I shall praise him, my help and my God. As a deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God.
Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God.
Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me?
Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God.
By day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life.
Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God.
I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I walk about mournfully because the enemy oppresses me?
Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God.
Why are you downcast, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me?
Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God.
Amen.
Our reading this morning, if I can use that expression, this morning or this evening or this afternoon, whenever you're watching, is from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18. The whole armour of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armour of God, so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against the enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armour of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand therefore and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And Marge is now going to bring a message for us. Thank you, Marge.
Thank you, David. And thank you for the beginning of this very strange service. But we know that God is present, and we trust that God will bless us and bless those who share with us morning, noon, or night, whenever that might be. There's no doubt that these are troubling times. We thought we were doing okay, and then this nasty virus raises its head again, and we find ourselves once more confronting the unknown with anxiety, uncertainty, and a degree of fear. Once more, life is being turned upside down and roundabout and every other which way, I think. When David was on a break some months ago, I spoke about God's relentless love, and that has come back to me so strongly over these last couple of days. That is a love that will never, ever let us go. And how much we need to remember this truth when our world seems to crumble around us. Hear again these words from Ephesians 1. Long before he laid down earth's foundations, he had us in mind, had settled on us as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. Long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. What pleasure he took in planning this. Now, Ephesians, or the letter to the Ephesians, has two distinct themes. The first three chapters are very powerful reminders of what God has done for us, and I would encourage you to read them for yourself. The last three chapters are what God requires of us. So it's very much a letter to the church. At the beginning of chapter 4, we read these words. This is from the Message. I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. Aren't they the most wonderful words? There follows many words of advice and encouragement as to how to live a life which honours God. But you know, to truly honour God in our life is really difficult. If you read all of these three chapters in one go, your head will be swimming and you'll probably say it's all too hard and want to give it all up. But the last words in this letter give the best advice of all. And this is the Message translation of the reading that Laurie just read. Be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get. every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. In the same way, prayer is essential in the ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. In other words, put on the full armour of God and go do it. David has reminded us over recent weeks of what the armour of God is, and today sees the final piece of that armour being put into place. Do you know what? I think it is the most important, because it goes on the head. Armour on the head. The whole body now safe and secure. It seems to me that the writer has been painting a picture. When the armour is in place, there is a strong barrier between the weapons of the enemy and the soldier, which gives him or her the confidence to go forward into the battle. I don't think I need to remind anybody that for the Christian, life is a continual conflict between the good and the not so good. So for me, this is a metaphor for what happens when we accept Jesus into our lives. When we accept the gift of salvation, God no longer sees us as we are. Rather, God sees us as we are in Jesus. It is as though Jesus stands before us, all our humanness overlaid by his amazing grace. Jesus is our shelter and our shield. As I was thinking about this theme, I thought that there was a time when neither a man nor a woman would feel fully dressed without a hat. Whether it was to go shopping or to church, the last thing was to look in the mirror, straighten the hat, and feel ready to face the world. Actually, I was quite sorry when it became no longer fashionable to wear hats to church, because I actually liked them. But these days, it's a battered old sun hat to try to stave off the further sun damage to my skin. But the helmet of the soldier is not a fashion item. It was a very important part of the armour, and the soldier was not safe without it. In Paul's day, the helmet was most often made of heavy bronze or iron and had cheek pieces that came down to protect the side of the face. I would think that that was pretty heavy and mighty uncomfortable to wear. So it wasn't worn all the time, just for the battle. If the head is damaged, so too is the brain. Damage to limbs can be overcome, but if the brain is damaged, there are very serious consequences, and hence the strong push for helmets to be worn by bike riders and sports people and all sorts of other people. The brain is where whatever we have learned is stored. It is the place where we decided to follow Jesus, a conscious decision to follow Jesus, where we take up the gift of his redeeming love and then find the purpose for our being. It is in our head where doubts and fears and uncertainty can take hold and cause us to question whether God really does love us, the place where we can make good decisions or bad ones, the place where so much of life hangs. It is in our brain that we contain the knowledge of what Christ has done for us. It is in our head that we made that decision to believe Jesus, more than believe in Jesus, to believe Jesus. It is in our head that we know what we have in Christ, and it is in our head that we know we are saved. To put it simply, the helmet of salvation is the conscious knowledge that there is nothing in all creation which can ever separate us from the love of God which is ours in Christ Jesus. To understand that Jesus is our armour, our protector, is to understand that the evil one has no authority over us. It reminds us that we are saved by grace, not by works, and nothing we can ever do or not do will cause God to love us any more or any less than he does right this minute. It is based on who, capital WHO, who you know and what you know of him, not on what you have or haven't done. A hymn which I've sung so often through the years is based on Paul's words to Timothy. And you know, this does it for me. I guess because I sang it so often in my younger years. I know not why God's wondrous grace to me has been made known, nor why, unworthy as I am, he claimed me for his own. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. So when Paul says, take up the helmet of salvation, he is saying, remember, know, understand in your mind that you are saved, that you are justified, that you are secure in your relationship with Jesus, and you have the freedom to share his love with all you meet. It is also the mind that is most likely to let us down, because what and how we think will determine how we will act. In his letter to the church at Philippi, Paul wrote, and I love this passage of scripture, celebrate God every day, all day. I mean, revel in him. Make it as clear as you can to all you meet that you're on their side, working with them and not against them. Help them to see that the Master is about to arrive. He could show up at any minute. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It is wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the centre of your life. Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do your best by filling your mind and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you have learned from me, what you heard and saw and realised. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into his most excellent harmonies. They are the most beautiful words if we take them to our hearts. So when your faith seems weak and you are lost in self-doubt, when your confidence has plummeted and your self-esteem is shattered, grab hold of your helmet and meditate upon who you are in Christ. You are accepted. You are God's child. You are Christ's friend. You are united with the Lord, one spirit, and so much more. You have security and promise because Jesus stands before you and speaks to God on your behalf. You are free from condemnation. You cannot be separated from the Lord of love. You have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of sound mind. Grace and mercy is yours. But just before I finish, there is one more thing I think we must acknowledge. For all the courage and strength we receive from a relationship with God, we also have a responsibility. Jesus said, I have appointed you and chosen you to go and bear much fruit, to be my witness, to be my ambassador, minister of reconciliation. We have been chosen for a purpose. In a letter from the disciple Peter, we read, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a people belonging to God, so that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvellous light." We have a task to be the reflection of Christ in our community. We must let the knowledge and security that is ours be the driving force for our living, always asking ourselves, "What would Jesus do?" and then doing our best to do the same. A little story to finish. Upon Jesus' arrival in heaven, a vast host of angels greeted him. After the formalities, they asked him whom he had left behind on earth to finish the work he had begun. Jesus replied, "Just a small group of men and women who love me." "That's all?" asked the angels, astonished. "What if this tiny group should fail?" Jesus replied, "I have no other plans." Jesus has blessed us richly. Let us not be those who mess up his plans. Amen.
Thank you, Marge. One of the really great things about technology, having watched this service, whenever you watch it, if you're watching it Sunday morning or sometime the week following, and listening to the things that Marge has said in particular, you can always go back and play it again. And I think that's sometimes good to get the full gist of things that have been said and talked about. We'd like to spend just a little minute or two in prayer. And again, because of the nature of the service that we're presenting, in some ways it's a bit of a challenge, but you know, the things we've done tonight and the scriptures that we've used and the things that Marge has said, there is a lot we could pray about. So would you join me in prayer, please? Father God, we are reminded by the psalmist David writing so long ago in a moment of pain for whatever reason, he said and wrote, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me?" But in that psalm, he also wrote the words that we repeated a number of times through our reflection on that psalm. "Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God." So Lord, though many of us may be feeling downcast, disquieted, help us to turn our eyes to you, Lord. Because really there is no other that can lift us from despair, from a sense of anxiety. So we would pray, Lord, that for those who are watching this and for those who are not, right across our state, that somehow you would reach into our lives, Lord, and turn around those things that are troubling us at the moment. We pray, Lord, that this virus that is affecting the whole world might be dealt a death blow. We pray, Lord, for the leaders of our state here in South Australia, for the leaders of anyone else who is watching from another country, for all leaders, Lord, that you would use them for your purposes, even if they don't recognize you. We pray here in South Australia for Stephen Marshall, for our police commissioner, for our chief medical officer. And pray, Lord, that you would give them wisdom at this time. Pray for those at the front line. Pray for patience, Lord, for all of us. And Lord, may we be reminded, as Marge reminded us, that nothing in all of creation can separate us from your love, the love that is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord. Help us, Lord, to hang on to you for all it's worth, as you hang on to us. And we pray all of these things in the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, we do have one more song we'd like to sing and invite you to join in with the singing of that song. But before we do that, I just want to thank the people who are in this room who have stepped up, so to speak, and said, yes, we can do this. So we're doing it. So thanks to Digby, who's behind me, and Laurie here to my right, and Marge, of course, who preached, and Dennis, and Kirsten, and Ken, and Adrian, who are driving the technology for us. Guys, you are just superstars. Thank you. So let's sing together. Savior,
clothed in majesty, Lord of history, you're the way, the truth, the life, star of the morning, glorious in holiness, you're the risen one, heaven's champion, and you reign.
May God the Creator bless you and keep you. May the beloved companion look into your eyes and have mercy on you. May the Eternal Spirit's countenance be turned to you and give you peace. May the Three in One bless you. Amen.